Okay, so we are in Reish Samaches. If you have the sources, we're on page Kuf Pei Gimel, towards the. So there's the tour in the middle. The tour quotes at length from a Gemara Maseches Yevamos. Oh, hello Yitzchak. It quotes at length from Gemara Maseches Yevamos, and this is actually one of the longer sifim. The way it all, the entire thing, pretty much gets recorded in Shulchan Aruch, and it probably is one of the longer sifim in the entire Shulchan Aruch. That because there's a long Megillah that's quoted here. So let's, I guess it's best to just read from the tour in the middle. Yitzhak, if you want, in the chat, if you can get to the chat, there's a link to a Google Drive document which has the sources for tonight. It has the Beis Yosef and the Shulchan Aruch. So the tour says, right in the middle of the page, v'cheshebo lihisgayer, when the person comes to get geirus, omrim lo, we say, mara isa shebato lihisgayer. What did you see that you've come, that you've wanted to convert? So, iya tayodeya, don't you know, she yisrael bizmanazed chufim vizchufim umeturafim v'yisurin bayit aleihem. Don't you know that the Jews are cast aside and despised and put away, and bad things come upon them. Vim Amar, and if he says, Yodeyani ve'eni kedai lehischaber imam, he says, you're right, I recognize that, and I'm not really worthy, and I'm not even worthy of joining amongst them, mekabelin oso miyad. So we'll accept them immediately. Now what does it mean to accept him immediately? Does it mean that we bring him to the mikvah? So not necessarily. I think that's a somewhat of a cryptic line that the Gemara gives. I think it means that we accept him, I think that it means that we accept him into the parsha of Geirus. Right? And that's what it means that we bring him to the next line. Meaning one could read it as, we accept him immediately and skip to the mikvah. Right? I don't think that's what the Gemara means. I'm not, I don't know if that's the way we show him understand it. Rather, it's mekabelin oso miyad, umodian oso, and we tell him some of the mitzvot, some of the mitzvos. Mixus mitzvos kalos, umixus mitzvos chamuros, some of the light mitzvos and some of the difficult mitzvos. Umodian oso, onshon shel mitzvos, she'omrim lo kodim, and we tell him the punishment of some of the mitzvos, and that we tell him, she'omrim lo kodim shabasa lamda zu achalta chelev, iyata enosh karis. This is before you learned that this thing was chelev, you wouldn't be punished karis. Chalalta Shabbos, and if you violated the Shabbos, iyata chayev skila, you wouldn't be liable to stoning. V'ata, but now, achalta chelev, ata enosh kares, chalalta Shabbos, ata chayev skila. But now, if you eat chelev, you're going to be punished with kares, and if you violate Shabbos, you're going to be chayev skila. Umudiyano so matan scharin shalmitzis. Now, we don't all make it negative. We tell him some of the reward for mitzvahs as well. Sh'omrlo, we tell him that Hava Yodea Sh'olam Haba Inu Tzafun El Tzadikim B'Shabulam Mazeh Inu Yichon Lekabel Lo Rov Tova Lo Rov Paranos Ve'in Marben Aleim Ve'in Medaktim Aleim. We tell him about the idea that there's an Olam Haba and that's reserved for the Tzadikim, and Yisraelim in this world aren't able to receive the majority of the goodness and nor the majority of the badness that they would come to them. Rather, this is just a little bit about what one would see in Olam Haba. Ve'imar ben alav ve'imidaktik alav. We don't tell them too much, and we're not too strict about it. Kabel, period. So that's the Kabbalas HaMitzvos phase. Okay, so then Kabel Malano Somiyad, if he accepts it, so we give him a bris immediately. We'll get into in a moment why what it means by immediately. Ve'im nishtayru bo tzitzan ha'ma'akvenes ha'mila Malano Soshniyan, if you remain some of the strands of the Mila that actually keep it from being a kosher bris, we would give him a second bris, meaning he's got to have a full Mila. Wait for him to get healed. And we give him a befitting tvila, right? He goes to the mikvah. Hogenes below, and he shouldn't have any chatzitza. And then a couple of other details here that's mentioned here. V'gayez mizayev v'shakel torfei didei udakare. What is that? So the prisha on the bottom explains what that means. Chotech saro v'notel tziparnov shel yadayim v'raglayim. We cut his hair and we cut his nails and of his feet and of his hands and of his feet. So it's a little bit like, why is he all of a sudden slipping into this heavy Aramaic? The Prisha explains that Vafalgav Shein Derech Rabbeinu Ladaber Bazel Lashon, usually the Torah doesn't speak like that. Shemakach Matzu B'Sefer Echad Me'a Machadrim V'Atiku K'mo Shematzanim. And probably the Prisha is just copying out of some other Sefer that he found it in that has that odd, that difficult Aramaic. Okay, anyways, V'Chad Salik Mevarech Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Shekir Shavet Sivanu Al Hatvila. So then he makes the bracha of al hatvila. V'talmidei chachamim omdim al tfilaso umudiyano so az gamkin ksas mitzvos kals v'ksas mitzvos chamuros. And we tell him even at that point again some of the light mitzvos and some of the difficult mitzvos. And he immediately at that point is like Yisrael l'chol davar. Now things are a little bit out of order, as the Beis Yosef is going to point out. But he's in a Yisrael, Shim Chazal, the Sufi goes back to his old ways, Arayu Ki Yisrael Meshumad, he's like a Jew who's become a Meshumad, who's become a apostate. Shim Kidesh Kedusha of Kedushin, and if he does Kedushin, so his Kedushin works when he's totally Jewish. V'isha Nashim Moshivos Osa Ad Savara B'mayim V'tamilcham Omdi Mibachutz Mudin Osa Miksas Mrs. Kaos Mrs. Kamaros. He says, by the way, with women as well, so they'll have women that will set her up beforehand such that the water goes up to her neck, and the Tamid Chachamim will stand on the outer part of it, and they'll do the same thing. They'll tell the Mitzvos Kalos and the Mitzvos Kamaros. Okay, so that is the general Seder HaGeirus that takes place. So let's go back a little bit. So if you go back to Kuf Pei Gimel, so the Beis Yosef at the bottom of that page of Kuf Pei Gimel, which is the first page on that list, so the Beis Yosef spells out Hakol Braisa Perek Acholitz. This is all in a Braisa in Meseches Yevamos, right? Which is all being read out of there, not necessarily straight up, but that's where it's coming from. V'chasa b'nimuke Yosef, who's on the back, the commentary on the Rif, Svara dirabusa she'im lo hodiyuhu einu ma'akev. V'hachi mashva perek klal gadol. Right, that the b'nimuke Yosef points out that, by the way, if you didn't tell him any of this stuff, it's not ma'akev, right? And his proof is from Perek Klal Gadol. What is that? Well, how do you prove that none of this is necessary? So the Gemara there has a discussion about the concept of a ger bein ha'akum, meaning somebody who violated all of the melachos on Shabbos and violated b'shogeg. And the Gemara wants to know, how is it possible that he could have done such a thing? As well, maybe he just didn't know these things because he was a ger Bena Akum. He was a ger that grew up amongst the non-Jews. So, wait a second, if he was a ger that grew up amongst the non-Jews, so implying that he was never taught any of these things. Well, how could he have converted without being told any of these things? Isn't Shulchan Aruch telling us that that's what's necessary? So that's what the Muke Yosef explains, that no, it's not actually Ma'akiv. That if he doesn't get told Kabbalah Samitzvos, so then it's... if he doesn't get told, taught any of the mitzvos, and he converts anyways, so that would actually work. Now, what is that? How does that? What does that mean? So this is, of course, the basis for the long, many tshuvos and igros moshe, and many tshuvos bizman hazeh about what is the status of non-orthodox conversions. Right, that, well, who says Kabbalah Samitzvos is necessary, right? It seems that the Beis Yosef here is quoting from the Nemuke Yosef, that this whole idea of teaching him the entire Torah, that it's not ma'akev, that's what it says, that it's not necessary. So does that mean, you don't see it, Yitzhak, look above.
Yeah, I wanted to say that, do we need a Shomer Shabbat Beis Din?
Yeah. So one second. So does this mean that the entire thing is not necessary? So it probably doesn't mean that. It probably doesn't mean to the extent that we. It probably doesn't mean that he doesn't need any Kabbalah mitzvos at all. What it means probably is that he has to recognize that Judaism comes along with various responsibilities. Now, if he's not taught what those responsibilities are, so it means that the conversion is still going to be chal. Right, the problem with non-Orthodox conversions is that the assumption is that none of the mitzvos are necessary. That none of it is ma'akiv. None of it. That's what he's being taught. So that's the part that's going to be a problem. So the way we generally understand this din, maybe we'll get into it a little bit later as we continue on in Hilchos Geirus down the line. is that a Kabbalah's HaMitzvos, an idea, an acceptance of responsibility is necessary. An acceptance of specific mitzvos is not going to be necessary. But if you maybe get told about various mitzvos and said, yeah, but you don't really have to do them anymore, or once upon a time the Jewish people kept these various mitzvos, but we're not going to, but you know, that was in the old days, but nowadays it's not necessary anymore, so that probably would nullify the entire conversion, because you're not being taught something true about Jew. You're being taught something that's not true, right? You think you're entering into a religion where everything is optional, while we understand that everything is mandatory. So that's a very key line that shows up above regularly, and how far that goes is going to be subject for this debate, which maybe we'll get to down the line. Now, Yitzhak asked about the Beis Din, so let's hold off a little bit on the Beis Din. Does the Beis Yosef, I forget if the Beis Yosef himself talks about the Beis Din here. Okay, I'm not sure the Beis Yosef himself talks about the Beis Din. Oh, that's Gimel. Okay, so the next Sif, which I don't think we're going to get to tonight, but Sif Gimel talks about the requirements of Beis Din. So we'll hold off on that, if that's okay.
Another question. The difference about being an Orthodox or not Orthodox, I'm sure there's Orthodox conversions where it's clear that they're not going to observe all the mitzvos at all. You're just talking about, on the day of conversion, it's maybe obvious in some cases
Standard psak is that the assumption is that there has to be a reasonable chance. Obviously, people are, just because you become a convert doesn't mean that you're never going to speak Lashon Hara again, right? But your intention is, at the time of conversion, that you're going to keep all the mitzvahs to the best of your ability with the recognition that they're ma'akev. Now, if the person is there with a, in front of the conversion, in front of the guy, and he's midway through a McDonald's hamburger, and he seems to be under the assumption that he fully intends on finishing that hamburger when the rabbi gets finished with what he's saying, right? So that's going to be a problem. That is going to nullify the conversion. That at least is our assumption. Now, when you get into more complicated things of does the woman need to cover her hair? What if the woman is going to not necessarily dress the way that we would assume she would? What about if... those kinds of details, maybe we'll hold on. Let's maybe learn. We'll have a shiur maybe at the end of Hilchos Geirus about how those things work. What about adoptions to families where the family is not totally, totally Orthodox, but they're within the Orthodox world, right? So does that mean they can't adopt? So that's something that Dayanim have had to deal with, over the last several decades, right? But recognize also that these are new questions. Meaning the Rambam famously point out that the Rambam doesn't explicitly say that Kabbalah Samitzos is Ma'akev, right, in the entire Rambam. So, and we don't necessarily see it here. All you see here is that, these are the things that you tell him, right? So some want to say, so you see Kabbalah Samitzos, acceptance of mitzvos, is not necessary. So I think the standard response is, and again, there are those who try to use some of that as leniency, but the standard response is, because, it's not one of the required things for conversion, it's the required thing for conversion. I mean, before you enter the realm of conversion, right, it's not, there's three things you require, Mila, Tevila, and bringing a Korban. The Gemara, in that section, when it says what's required for conversion, does not mention Kabbalah and Mitzvos. But the standard answer is, because that's not rule 1, 2, or 3, that's rule 0, right? Before you get to 1, 2, and 3, right, that's the assumption is that. Why in the world would you be doing 1, 2, and 3 without Kabbalah and Mitzvos? Okay, so that's...
Well, one other thought is this, that all this is written at a time that the Jewish community was very strong, was not mixed with other non-from, non-Jewish people. So
correct.
If someone converted...
Right.
The realm of the Jewish community. And now, we're looking understand this with modern eyes, but can understand the possibility that they might not, you know, even though they say they might observe all the mitzvahs, in the end they might not do it.
Correct. Correct. The idea of conversion in general was not a common thing until the last 100 years. It was not a common thing at all. Someone just said something, but right, it wasn't regular. We don't have we don't have piles of tshuvos from the 19th century and earlier about conversions. Because it wasn't who in the world and who in their right mind would want to convert, right? So it was considered a very rare thing. To the point that some of the issues that, as we learn, so sometimes we're struck by, what did they do last year? What did they do last week? Like a machlokas about how your tefillin's supposed to look. Well, why don't you just look at a pair of tefillin, right? So that is a valid question. But when it comes to geiras, it's not really a valid question because it wasn't a common thing that took place until the modern era when it became a much more common thing. Correct. We allow for him to go off the derech down the road. I mean, there are people who convert, and then down the road it becomes a problem. But if they are sitting there with the half-eaten a McDonald's cheeseburger, right? So that's right. Or they're making plans that after this conversion we're going to go celebrate at Heine's, right? So that's not that's obviously going to be a problem.
Down the road could be once a year or a week.
Right, so the Beis Din has to do that. That's the job of Beis Din, to try to ascertain that the people are in a good place, that's not going to happen.
Rabbi, I heard something that there is a difference between ger and ger tzedek, which means somebody can convert. It doesn't have to be a tzaddik. He can be a convert and a Jew, and then he can be a sinner and still be a Jew, and it won't
I never heard of such a distinction. Ger is not necessarily going to be a tzaddik, but the ger has to be shomer Torah mitzvos. The ger, that has to be where the ger is holding at, that this is what I'm attempting to do. And yes, I'll make mistakes, and I may fall, and I may stumble, but that he's going to say, listen, I'm going to do half and not all. Right, that's not something that is that is acceptable. Okay. Yes, right. Ger Toshim and Ger Tzedek. Ger Toshim means they're accepting the Zion Mitzvos B'nai Noach, and therefore they have the reason. Therefore they could stay in Eretz Yisrael. That's a Ger Tzedek. That's a Ger Toshim. Right. Okay. Right. Let's go to the next section of the Beis Yosef. It says Vein Marbin Alav, Vein Medaktik in Alav, that we don't have too much. We're not going to be too careful with him. So Perachholitz Amar Rabbi Elazar, Mikra, where does that come? Vatira ki misametzasi, that she saw, that Naomi saw, that Rus was determined. Lelechas ata v'techta l'davar alav. So she stopped speaking with her. Once you see you not necessarily have to teach them everything. They don't have to know everything. Now, nowadays, that might have changed a little bit, that they, because of the lack of communal structure, the Geirus courses have become more rigorous as opposed to less rigorous. But once you see that there is that they're determined, so then you do it. So Kabel Malano Somiyad, and once they accept it, so you give them the Mila right away, if they're of the... if they're of that half of the population, right? So my taima. So what's the reason? So the Gemara. So we say shuhuye mitzvah lo mashina, because we don't push off mitzvos. So there's a bit of a question. Well, what mitzvah? What exactly is the mitzvah that you're saying that you're not allowed to push off? So anyway, so there is a in the Sefer Geirus Kehilchasa that I have here. So he has a footnote about this issue, right? The idea of malanu somiyad. Why is that? Because we don't want to push off mitzvos, as the Gemara says. So Tosfos makes a comment that, yeah, because we see that you're not supposed to put, not Tosfos there, Tosfos elsewhere, points out, yeah, that you push someone else from away from conversion, that's a problem, as we've seen. That Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov were punished in that they didn't accept Timna. That Timna had come to become Misgayer. They pushed her away, and then she went and went into Esau's family, and Amalek came from them, who's driven Bnei Israel crazy. And we also see that Yehoshua accepted Rachav, and Nami accepted Rus. So we see that there is some type of, that's what Tosfos says. But the first part is the biggest key, that there is some type of mitzvah to do it. In fact, and after maybe what the Gemara is saying too, that you should do it right away, meaning that is a some kind of command. Now the Rishonim then get into a bit of a start giving a couple of more specific examples. One of them being v'ahavta mesager, which some others point out. Wait a second, v'ahavta mesager, to love the ger doesn't mean to love the ger before he's a ger, that means to love the ger after he's a ger, right? So we wouldn't say, so it's a little difficult to say that that's the mitzvah. The Ravid writes another passage that we learn out from V'yasa nefesh asher asu b'charan, that the idea that Avram went and did it, so he made nefashos, so to speak. So that means that there must be some type of mitzvah of ger, but another Rishonim say simply that it's mitzvah v'haftas Hashem Elokecha, that it's a demonstration of, not necessarily that's the mitzvah of v'haftas Hashem Elokecha to go and recruit gerim, but it is a fulfillment of v'haftas Hashem Elokecha, right? To show your love for Hashem and spread it to other people, and there is this idea of recruiting gerim, so to speak, that's out there as well. So of those things, we see that there is some type of positive activity of recruiting Gerim, and therefore that explains the Gemara, when the Gemara says that once he seems ready, Kabel Malin Oso Miyad, in order not to push off the mitzvah. Perhaps not a specific mitzvah of accepting Gerim, but some type of positive idea that's out there, which we are attempting to fulfill. Yitzhak?
Most of the time we hear that we have to push the convert away. So there is this two dynamics. On one side we have to push them away and scare them a little bit. And on the other side we have a mitzvah to get them closer to Hashem.
Yes.
Because it's a mitzvah of Avat Hashem.
Yes. Yes, right, and absolutely, and that's what we're doing here as well. We sort of have to filter out, that was in this section that we read already, right, that we do tell him, we do scare him a little bit, and we also tell him zchuyos, meaning we also tell him the merits of being Jews, that it's, that not only is it a dialectic in terms of what the mitzvah is, even in the discussion with the potential ger, you are having you are displaying both sides, and seeing where they're going to fall. Okay, let's just continue a little bit. The idea of cutting the nails and the hair, right? He actually quotes from the Rif. There is an idea out there. We'll see. It's quoted in Shulchan Aruch that a ger before they convert actually shaves their entire head and cuts their nails really short. That's sort of a mitzora kind of way of becoming a new person. I don't think that's the minhag today, although I did see an allusion to it. So there is an idea out there that the Torah here quotes that is accepted, okay? And the bracha also is an interesting thing, right? Kolomar afal pi, the Beis Yosef says, afal pi shekol mitzvos mevarach aleim over liasiyasan, even though all mitzvos we make before we do it, as we learn in Maseches Pesachim, hamarav chista hasam chutz min hatvila. The exception to that is Tevila, right? Tanya Nami Hachi Tavil va'Allah Baliya. Some of Varach Shrekish Shavuot Zivanu Al Hatvila, right? Because he makes the bracha after the tevila happens, right? All mitzvos we make the bracha before, tevila we do after. My taima, Mishum Dachasi Gavra Lo Chazi, because he doesn't make sense. He can't make the bracha beforehand. He's not Jewish yet. So that is the basis for all of our tevila type mitzvos. The minug is to make the bracha afterwards, at least amongst Ashkenazim, right? So not only does a ger make the bracha after they go to the mikvah, right, after they come up, or perhaps while they're still in, a nida as well, a woman who goes to be tovel, so she'll dunk once and then make the bracha afterwards, probably to copy the ger, right? But I think Sephardim... What?
They dunk once, say the bracha, and then they dunk again.
The minhag amongst women is that they dunk once, they say the bracha, they dunk again, and then they say some kind of tefillah that's written on the wall of the mikvah, and then they dunk a third time. That's the general practice, but from a Lumdish perspective, it's somewhat of a joke. Meaning, from a Lumdish perspective, right? The real thing is going to the mikveh once, right? I remember Sobolovsky has two stories about that. He said when he went to the Ari's mikveh, he was about to go in, and they told him, you know, you have to go seven times. So he's like, seven times? What's the difference, right? So he said, I went seven times, but I did it in a Litvish way. I went under and I stuck my finger up seven times to do it that way. And the other, when I learned Hilchos Nida with him, he told the story, Svardim don't do that. Svardic women make the bracha first and then go into to be Tovel. So he said that a woman, he got a call from the mikveh lady saying that there's a woman here who's insisting on making the bracha before being Tovel. I can't imagine what the scene was. Like, at what point is like this? She's insisting on doing this. So Rosalski says, yeah, she's probably Svardi. Like, so what's the big deal? So the mikveh lady responded by saying, yeah, but this is an Ashkenazi mikveh, right? We can't, how can we allow this practice here? So Rosalski told her that she's not davening for the umud. She's just going to the mikveh, and you could let her do her practice. Okay, so but it's all pena, and the truth is, even our idea that we make the bracha after washing the tilas yadayim is based off the same thing, right? It's actually not everybody, actually Rav Shechter actually breaks the bracha and then washes his hands, but that's the same basis, that there's some kind of tumah with you, so therefore we wash and then make the bracha. But the truth is, that's a little dicey, meaning there's not necessarily a prohibition in making a bracha before washing your hands, right? We make a mezonos before washing our hands. Why can't we make an alantios yadayim before washing our hands, right? But it's patterned after the idea of geiris. Anything tevila related, we tovel first, and then we follow that by making the bracha. Okay, maybe we'll there's more here in the Beis Yosef, but okay, let's head to the Shulchan Aruch maybe. So on pages, okay, so on pages I think 5 and 6 or 6 and 7 of the sheet. So there you have the pages of Shulchan Aruch. So as you see, it's one of the very long sifim. And truth is, we read it's really patterned after the tour, right? We'll just maybe skim it. That when the person comes to convert, we tell him, right? Why do you want to convert? Don't you know that the Jews have been picked on all the time? Right, by the way, why do we do that, right? This is that dialectic we mentioned before, right? On one hand, we encourage. There is this mitzvah that the Gemara seems to be alluding to. On the other hand, the Shach quotes the idea that Yitzchak quoted before, right? The Shach says, "Shim yirtza lefari shifrosh." So if the guy wants to get out of there, let him go. Why? Shekashim geirim liYisrael kisafachas. That geirim are difficult for the Jewish people, like a sapachas, like some kind of like a scab or a mole or something like that, right? Gam shelo yomer la'achar mikan ilu yadati lo ayisi miskayir. And also, we don't want it to say after. Had I known, I never would have converted. Right? That. And Beis Yosef adds in the idea that if you didn't tell, right, what we mentioned before, if you didn't tell him, it's not ma'akev, and the Achronim quote that idea, right? Even this idea of that the kashim geirim liYisrael kisapachas is a little hard to understand. Tosfos, that idea is quoted in Gemara, I don't know, 4 or 5 times in Shas, and Tosfos makes a comment every time as to what that is, and Tosfos makes a different comment every time as to what that is. What does it mean that geirim are difficult for the Jewish people, like some kind of scab? So many understand it. What?
A scab? I don't understand.
It's like a scab, S-C-A-B, like when you have a wound that's covered.
The skin.
Yeah, or some kind of skin ailment. Yeah. So the simplest is just to say that they cause tsaros. That sometimes geirim come in and they cause challenges. They're not necessarily so religious. They don't necessarily keep up the standards. They have their own. Sometimes they have their own challenges with regards to their own family situations, etc. But it's also important to point out that one of the reasons that Tosfos gives another explanation, and that is that they're challenging to Bnei Yisrael because they end up often being more frum than the Jews, right? That they come to shul and they can't understand why in the world anybody would be talking during davening, or why in the world anybody would, you know. So that also causes its own challenges. So anyways, you see this dialectic, this two sides of the issue, on one hand pushing them aside, on the other hand trying to bring them in. Right, so yeah, the idea if they say I know about this and I'm not worthy, we accept them and we tell them the important part about Hashem and the idea of Yichud Hashem, the singularity of Hashem and not allowed to do avodah zarah, and we spend time with this. By the way, it's important. This is in the Geirus world, this often gets skipped over. If you look at Geirus curriculums, it's always it's focused on Shabbos, Kashrus, Taras Mishpacha, Brachos, Moadim, and I don't know, Bishul Akum, right? You have to remember to also talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu at some point. Especially if somebody's coming from another religion, they often just like, oh yeah, it's kind of the same thing as Christianity, just it's just the original Christianity. Like there's a language barrier that is often a problem, and that needs to be part of the curriculum to teach about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Probably needs to be part of the curriculum for all Jews, right? More than it is. Which is a plug for Yitzchak's shir with Rav Nachman, by the way. He plugged my shir, I should plug his shir. And we give him some of the light mitzvahs, the heavy mitzvahs, and so mix his own shinshel mitzvahs. We tell him about some of the punishments, and we tell him before you come in, you have to, before you did this, if you ate chalev, if you violated Shabbos, you wouldn't be punished. Now you are going to be punished, but we don't do it too much, right? And we're not too ve'im medaktikin alav. So let's take a look now at the shach. What does it mean you're not going to be too medaktik with him? Kolomar, says the Shach, Afpa Osam Nixas Onshin in Lo Di Kol Dik Duke Onshin. We don't give all the, we don't make it too too gory the punishments. Amodiyach Hazo Derech Klal. You tell him like in general what it means. You know you're going to be punished for this. Kadam Shabbata Lamida Zu Achata Chelav Yeta Onosh Kares Chalat the Shabbos Yeta Onosh. Right. Skila Va'achshav Achata Chelav in Lo Di Kol Nik Dukin Va'Chumrus. You don't have to give like all of the gory details about it. Why? The Shema Kavana Sol Shemayim, says the Shach, which is a very odd line, right? You don't tell him all the details, because maybe the guy really does want to be frum, right? You don't want to push him away too much, right? I would add as well that if we think about the period of the Shach, we are we have to think about hopefully we'll do before Tisha B'Av our profiles of persecution. Series. So the Shach is a nominee for his difficult life. So the Shach lived in a very difficult period. He lived during the Chmelnytsky massacres. It's running all over Europe, right? So it could be, from the Shach's perspective, you need a little bit more on the positive side, as opposed to in some other eras in Jewish history, maybe you need a little bit more on the negative side, right? You need to always aim for this balance of trying to bring some in while not opening the floodgates. And just as you tell him some of the mitzvahs, you also tell him the schar of the mitzvahs, and that there aren't any full tzaddikim, but rather el bal chachma shos the mitzvahs elu yodim v'omrim lo haviyodei sholam haba inasav. And you tell him that there's olam haba, and what you see in this world is not necessarily what's going to be on the next world, right? This is all straight a quote from the Torah which we read earlier. Okay, then we get to the top of tzaddi hey, where it says in kibel, and if he accepts it, mullen oso miyad. We're going to give him the bris wide away. Umamtin and lo achi yisrap. You have to wait for him to be healed. Refua shlema. Va'achar kach matbilen oso tefila hogenes below chatzitza. And then you would have to give him a fitting tefila and make sure that there are no chatzitzas. So first of all, what is this idea of healing? Why do you have to wait for him to heal? So the quick answer is that, well, what do you mean? He's got like a scab there. Well, maybe not necessarily. If he had a bris, and nowadays they actually stitch it up, he might have stitches there. But so that would be a chatzitza. That would be a problem. But I think in the Gemara, Rashi makes the comment because you want to make sure that he's what?
Did you just use the word scab again?
Yeah.
So
yes.
That's why why they are scab, because they do breed when they are older and they have scab on their...
Maybe, hopefully that scab doesn't last too long. But they also have stitches, which should obviously be a chatzitza. But the Rashi on that Gemara actually talks about infection. That if he goes to the mikveh, that it could lead to illness, which I don't know what Rashi and the Gemara knew about infections, but Rashi seems to assume that the Gemara is concerned that if he goes to the mikveh with an open wound, right, non-chlorinated mikveh with an open wound, right, that could lead to problems. Which also opens, by the way, today it's mostly done on the same day, but that's because we're not usually doing full circumcisions to gayrus candidates. Usually you're only letting a little bit of blood out, and it heals in a few seconds. I mean, it's really not much, that's really not that big of a deal. So often it's going on, he goes to the moel, and then he goes straight from the moel to the mikveh if they're not happening at the same place. He also has to do a mikveh without any chatzitza. Adds the Rama, she galeach sharusav v'yitol tziparta yanav yada v'raglav kodem atvila. Right, and there are some who say that he shaves his head, cuts his nails, etc. Which the Shach even seems to assume that we do. Right, Rashi said, and the Shach even adds in, afilu ein chatzitza b'sarusav. Right, even if there's no chatzitza in his hair, he goes yesh yachuf yisrok, meaning hatev, he combs it very well, right? O yaguz miktsas sarosav, or he cuts part of it, hakshuros vechotzitzin, that might be a separation. Afapikin yigali kol sarosav, mishum shenichlas lechal yadus. Right, even so, you should shave your entire hair because now he's becoming a Jew. Vechein kasev abach. Right, what his source is, I don't know. It's challenging, but right, the Bach did have it. It's on the pages here. But the Efshar Netila Ser Begir Hu Al Pi Divrei Rov Moshe Hadarshan Shehevi Rashi Parshas Baloscha, right, which is quoted in Rashi. But okay, so there is maybe a source to it, and the Shach even adds in V'chein Haminod B'Mumrim, that those who became Mumrim, those who went totally off the Derech, K'shechozrim L'Das Yisrael, when they become Bali Tshuva, that they shave as well. Al korchach miu nir de b'di'evedim lo gilach saro rak she'in davar chotzei tavi tefila. But b'di'eved, this is not going to be ma'akev, it's not going to be necessary. If you don't do it, it's still going to work. I don't think this is done b'zman hazeh, this idea of shaving the hair. But anyways, all the way to the time of the Shach seems to talk about it. However, the Shach doesn't... It's interesting, the Shach, to point out how rare Geirus was, the Shach says, yeah, and that's the minug by Mumrim who come back. Right? He doesn't say, oh, that's the minug by Geirim, because there might not have been a minug by Geirim. There might not have been a minug, right? There's not necessarily a tradition on it. But there was apparently a tradition of those who came back, right? Especially considering the period of time that he was living in, meaning the period of the Crusades and post-Crusades and that era, right? So there were people who became Mumrim and then came back. So that was perhaps more common than people actually converting. That's what maybe it sounds like historically from that Shach. Okay, and let's just finish up here. So v'shlosha tamidi chachamim omdim al gabav, and three tamidi chachamim stand there. Mudinoso mixas misus kals misas misus chamuros. Right, so he actually do it twice. He stands in front of the basin once outside the mikveh, and then he goes to the mikveh, and they say it to him again in the mikveh. Right, chamuros pam shnia, v'hu omed b'mayim, he stands in the water. V'maysa isha, and if it's a woman, nashim moshivo sosa b'mayim al tzavaro, the woman places her in the water up to her neck. Vadayanim ibachutz, and the yanim are sort of to the outside. Mudino, some mitzvahs, mitzvahs kalus, v'chamurus, some of the mitzvahs that are difficult and easier ones. V'hi yosheves b'mayim, she sits in the water. Achar kach tovelas b'fnehem, and she tovels in front of them. V'hi machzirim p'neim v'yotzim, and they right away walk out. This is what is done b'zman hazeh. There's one big difference about the way things are done b'zman hazeh than what the Shulchan Aruch... There's one thing added today, and that is in the Shulchan Aruch's time, she went to the mikveh, and as long as the water was up to her neck, nobody could see anything because the water was probably dirty, right? Nowadays, the mikvehs are clean, right? So the practice has become, at least... I think I was only involved with one woman's geirus in my career, but they often place a poncho, like one of those big ponchos, they place it over her head, so the poncho then floats, right? And then she so the Rabbanim come in, and all they see is pretty much the woman's head sticking up and this big poncho that's floating at the top of the water with nothing else really visible. And then she goes under. And when she goes under, the Rabbanim leave the room. So
they don't go behind like a curtain. I thought I always pictured a curtain.
Well, they have to see her in the mikvah, right? They have to be able to see it go that she's there. Right, so just standing behind the curtain, I don't think is going to be sufficient. There has to be some visual. They have to be able to see something, right? So the cave and shetavel areyu ki Yisrael wants to go to the mikvah like Yisrael. Shim kazu l'sura areyu ki Yisrael mumar shim kadosh kedoshav kedushin. That once she's a Jew, areyu ki Yisrael mumar. That if she becomes, if she marries, does kedushin? The kedushin is going to be chal. Now there is a bit of a question: how strict of a preparation for the mikvah needs to take place beforehand? So the way it's quoted in the Sfarim, I'm not sure if this is the minhag or not, that women do a full chafifa like they would for the regular attendant at the mikvah. I'm not sure if they do the full thing with the bath and requiring the hour, etc. But certainly a full cleaning is necessary for both the men and the women. I mean, a man goes to the mikvah during the week, so okay. I mean, we're not going to necessarily require a full cleaning, but before he goes to the mikvah to make sure his nails are clean and any hair he has is totally straightened out.
Maybe something like of cutting the hair and the nails coming from there, which shows that they are clean before the mikvah, and then the women have to cut their hair. Like the minhag was also the women cutting.
So. Right. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if that was the minhag. I see it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. It doesn't seem to be the minhag today. The Shach seems to acknowledge that it makes sense that it would be the minhag, but there was no minhag, right? This is an example of, like, you know, not much happened for many centuries, right? There was a gear here and there, but I don't think it was a common thing. So whether they did or didn't, you know, I don't know if one can establish a minhag based on that. There is in the Sefer Geiris Kehilchasa an interesting ha'ara he has with regards to chafifa that, if I could find it, oh, it's in Perek Gimel. No,
it would make sense to be sure that they cut their
correct, right, correct. But the question is there a takana of, I mean, before a woman goes to the mikvah, so there's a takana of doing chafifa, right? There's a rule that she has to do it, right? It's not like, oh, you know, this is good advice, right? That's the halacha, that's something that she's required to do. So he points out, is that the halacha? At least, for men, probably not, but would we say for women it is? So he points out that in Hilchos Nida, that it says that the Shulchan Aruch says that besides combing her hair, she has to comb hair on her body as well. So hair in the pubic area, so he says it's a considered, she has to comb that, because that's a chatzitza for married, meaning married women have to comb it, because for her it's considered a chatzitza. But if a penuya goes, so it's not a chatzitza. So he said, he actually quotes, he says his son pointed this out to him, the author of the Geiris Kehilchasa. He says, my son Shlomo Yitzchak pointed out to me that it says it there. So the Taz makes the comment that, why is the Shulchan Aruch commenting about a penuya, about a non-married woman going to the mikvah, right? Why, there's no nafka mina ledin, at least during the Shulchan Aruch's time and during the Taz's time, etc. So he points out, the Chidushi Rebbe Yekiva Eger there says, there is a nafka mina with regards to Tevilas Gerim, that if a single non-Jewish woman is going to the mikvah for geirus, so she's required to do chafifa, but not required to do that, apparently, because there wouldn't be considered a chafifa, a chatzitza for her, as opposed to a woman, a married woman, it would be. So it sounds like there is some requirement of chafifa that's going to be necessary when it comes to a woman going to the mikvah. Okay. Yeah. So me too. So we're going to cut out now. Yishkoach Bob. So we finished Sif Gimel, Sif Beis, and Yishem Sif Gimel gets into some of the more issues that Yitzhak alluded to earlier with regards to who the Beis Din needs to be. So Mirz Hashem will cover that next week. Okay? Yashar Koach.